Hello, I'm Patrick Adams.
And I'm Caroline Legier.
And this is Librarians of Littles, a podcast where we discuss picture books, give ideas for makerspace incorporation activities, and we give tips and tricks for working with our youngest learners. Today, we have two great books to talk about with you. Today, the books that we chose to discuss, we were able to get copies from the authors at our recent visit to the Texas Library Association. And so these picture books are newer picture books, and they're wonderful, and we're so excited to talk about them. The first one is Bear Suit Turtle Makes a Friend, written and illustrated by Bob Shea. It is published by Abrams Books for Young Readers in 2025.
This book has not won any particular awards just yet, but Bob Shea is kind of a legend and has gotten loads of awards in the past, including Publishers Weekly's Best Books List for 2021 for Shea Bob, Children's Favorites Award 2019 for Splash Crash Moo, Publisher Weekly's Best Books List for 2019 for Who Wet My Pants.
Bob Shea is an award-winning author and illustrator of your favorite children's books. Bob has worked with Comedy Central. He's designed the Greenhead PBS Kids logo, developed an on-air character for Playhouse Disney, worked with Nick Jr., and has appeared on Noggin and The Sunny Side Up Show, and worked on a super secret project with really smart people at Google. And he is hilarious, based on our interactions with him and seeing him interact with others at the Illustrator Sketch Off at TLA. He's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah, he's pretty great. He's really funny. I haven't read this particular book by him, but everything that he's written or illustrated, I think, is just hilarious, and it's wonderful for children. Some of the other books that Bob Shea has written include Who Wet My Pants, illustrated by Zachariah O'Hora, Kid Sheriff and the Terrible Toads, illustrated by Lane Smith, and Big Plans, illustrated by Lane Smith. And then some of the books that he has written and illustrated are Shea Bob, Ballet Cat, Unicorn Thinks He's Pretty Great, and Dinosaur Versus the Library.
And so for this book, Bear Suit Turtle Makes a Friend, this is the story of a turtle in a bear suit claiming to be a for-real bear, and he meets a turtle claiming to be a for-real bear expert. The expert challenges the turtle in the bear suit to prove he is actually a bear by doing bear things like climbing trees and hibernating. And it's pretty silly as the turtle in the bear suit requires the bear expert to cover his eyes while he climbs the tree, and then the bear suit turtle pretends to sleep for hibernating. In the end, the bear expert explains that other bear things include riding bikes and foraging for ice cream and playing Pumpkin King. As the day progresses, the two get tired and hot, and the question of swimming arises, and both decide to tell each other the truth, that they are not really what they claim. But they have discovered that they are now friends and can enjoy each other's company, even when they're not who they originally claim to be. This book, Bob Shea's books, are always funny. They're always amusing. This will definitely get the kids laughing. This is a very silly book that is engaging, and I really enjoyed the sweetness of this friendship that grows between the two characters. It reminds me a lot of how a lot of students interact with each other, trying to kind of one-up, like, I know this, I can do this. And that's something that oftentimes becomes the basis for a friendship with the younger students. They kind of interact with each other. That's their first way of broaching that that interaction and getting to know each other, and so this is really mirrored in the book. It's just a really great story about friendship. It's heartwarming and cute and, like I said, very funny. I strongly suggest this book. I think this is another perfect book by Bob Shea. 5 bookmarks, definitely. I think this is going to become an instant classic for a lot of people. It's just so cute and fun. It's the classic kind of illustrations that Bob Shea is known for. Kind of, I don't want to use the word simplistic, but just very iconic illustrations, using lots of geometric shapes, lots of circles, lots of triangles, to just get that general outline or shape of the characters. And I think that's part of what makes it so endearing to the students, is they're like, I can totally see what that is without it being incredibly detailed. I think this is going to be a great book that everyone is going to enjoy, as it, I'm sure, will continue to be, it'll get onto a bunch of different lists, and it'll get a bunch of different awards. I guarantee it. I think it's a great story. Yeah.
I'm sure it will. Yeah. Like you said, everything Bob Shea touches turns to gold, really. And like I said, I haven't read this one yet, but I do love his art style. It always has like that really bold colors. And I do think it's not, I might call it a little bit simple in the illustration style, but I think that's really great for pre-K, because the kids can see all the shapes that he uses to make the illustrations, and it kind of makes it a little bit easier for the kids to imitate it themselves, so they can kind of see themselves as authors and illustrators, which I think is really important for our kiddos. And it also, like, it grabs their attention a little bit better, especially for our younger kids, or like our kids that may have difficulty seeing. We have a lot of visually, maybe not a lot, but we do have some visually impaired students that need those bold contrasting colors that he's kind of known for. So I kind of love that about his books. And I think the simplicity of them helps our kids grasp the concepts a little bit better. So I have, like I said, not having read this particular one yet, I know I already love it. Dinosaur Versus School is like one of my favorite ones to read with our incoming 3- and 4-year-olds who have never been to school before. That's like a really great way to like ease them in. I usually pair that one at the beginning of the school year with another book that's a little calmer, I guess. Dinosaur Versus School is just a really silly way to introduce school to our younger kids. So yeah, good choice. Yes. I love it already.
And I will say that there is a YouTube video where he explains how to draw Bear Suit Turtle that's available. So like you could, if the kids, because of the art style, and like we said, some of those kids can use those shapes to help build. So pairing this with that YouTube video where they can learn how to draw the Bear Suit Turtle would be kind of a cool activity that you could do. I also really love at the very end of the book, there are for real bear facts, and some of them are like obviously very real, and then there's some others that are kind of silly. An adult male black bear can weigh up to 600 pounds, or 100 bear suit turtles. If you see a grizzly bear, you should play dead. If you see a black bear, make yourself big and scary. Bears are apex predators, which means they aren't afraid of anything except spiders, because spiders are so gross.
That's funny.
He's just got a really good sense of humor, and
yeah,
I love that. You can just kind of tell that he just really enjoys his job and sharing that sense of humor with everybody that's around him, you know? Which is just a cool attitude to have, just being like, hey, I know I'm goofy and funny and silly, and I'm just going to roll with it, kind of, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. So a makerspace activity for Bear Suit Turtle Makes a Friend. My idea, this one's going to cost a little bit of money, but I looked, and Amazon has these pretty cheap. You can get 16 plastic turtles for about $8.
Yeah.
And my idea is that you pull out the Legos and all of the kids build a bear suit for a plastic turtle. The plastic turtles are about 2 inches tall, so the bear suit doesn't have to be huge, but the kids can build their own little bear suit to put the turtle into. And I thought that would be a fun little activity. It's going to take a little bit more dexterity and maybe a little bit more planning. But near the end of the year, I think that's something that our pre-K students will be able to do. And I like to challenge mm-hmm. them, because I've found that quite often if you give them a challenge, they will rise to the occasion. So I think this will be a fun activity to get them to be kind of creative and have to think a little bit more about how they use the Legos to make it so that the turtle will fit inside. So,
yeah, that activity. Sounds like a lot of fun. Something different.
And then once you buy the turtles, you can keep them like for years. So it's a upfront cost, but then you have them to use for other activities and things like that. So it's not too mm-hmm. bad.
No, it's not. You can reuse them for all the classes and everything. That's pretty cheap.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like it. That sounds like fun.
We're going to move forward with our Library of Littles management tip. So this coming week, you've got an author's visit. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that, what you've had to do kind of to get that going, like the setup process, how you decided on the author, if you know anything about like what the presentation's going to look like as far as for pre-K, that kind of stuff. What do you know?
Yeah. So I have the privilege of having Tammy Sauer come to both of my libraries next week. I'm so excited. It came about because, well, honestly, both of my libraries are closing, which is actually quite sad. So we had a little bit of extra money that we needed to spend kind of quickly. And Tammy Sauer came to a couple of the other libraries in my district just a month or two ago, actually, pretty recently. And so I emailed her and asked if she had any availability for the rest of the school year. To find her information, I just went to her website, and she has a tab called School Visits. And I just went there, and quite a few authors and illustrators actually have this, where there's just a form that you can fill out on their website, and you just enter in your information, and just has a few questions on it, like how many kids and how many presentations and things like that that you would want to have for them, and where you're located, general information, questions like that. And she emailed me back within like 2 or 3 hours. She's been kind of amazing with communication. And she said that she had availability for this coming week. So I got the paperwork started on our end with the district, and fortunately we were able to push everything through, and she's going to come and visit us. She's coming to two of my schools. I only have two schools, but she's coming to both of them. She was only available for a day and a half, so she's going to start with a half-day afternoon presentation this coming week on Wednesday. And what we did for that one, since it's a half day and she can only do two presentations, that school is fortunately a little bit smaller. And we only have about 250 students. So what we did is we're going to alter our special schedule so that everybody in the school gets a 30-minute specials in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we're going to have a presentation from 1:45 to 2:15, and then we have a 15-minute break, and then we'll have another presentation from 2:30 to 3:00. And Tammy Sauer has, I think most authors and illustrators who regularly do school visits do this anyway. There's like a list of presentations that you can pick from, and one of them is she advertises as for kindergarten first, so that's the one that we went with, and it's just a 30-minute presentation about how books take you places. And coincidentally, leading up to this, I have, throughout the school year, to teach kids about authors and illustrators, there have been like 4 books, I think, so far this year, where I think it started with on Dot Day. I read the kids the Dot, and then we did Peter Reynolds virtual author visit, and I told them that's what it was. I told them I used that terminology and told them we're going to do a virtual author visit, and explained that an author writes the words in the book, illustrator draws the pictures. Peter Reynolds did both for the Dot, and showed them a video with Peter Reynolds drawing dots and making his own little creation there. And it was just like a quick little 5-minute thing, but it was just to help the kids connect that, you know, he's the one who created the book, and this is this extension activity with it. And so when I was talking to the kids this last week about how, you know, an author is going to come and visit us, they were like, the one that writes the words? And they were like, yeah. And it was pretty exciting so far that I think they're really making that connection, even though our kids are a little younger. They're only 3, 4, and 5, but I think quite a few of them really are understanding that the author is the person who writes the words, and they create the books, and they can be authors too, and all the things. So I'm pretty excited that she's going to get to come and visit us. With my other school, the way the scheduling is working for that is I'm combining, since we have a full day for her at that school's a little bit bigger, so I'm glad that we have a full day there. We're going to have all the specials meet in the school cafeteria for the presentation for 30 minutes, and then for the second 30 minutes of their regular specials time, they're going to go to the rest of their specials. We normally have 1 hour total in specials. So they'll do 30 minutes in with our author visit all together with all the specials teachers and all the paras kind of supporting our students so that we can all, you know, that's a lot of kids. Like it'll be about 60-ish kids all together in the cafeteria at once. So we'll all be there to kind of help support and help kids focus and stay on task and such. And then we'll go to our regular specials after that, so that it'll be 30 minutes of author visit, 30 minutes of specials, and we'll kind of keep doing that for the rest of the day. So it'll be a total of 4 presentations at that school on Thursday. So, yeah, that's kind of how that's going so far. Obviously, I haven't done it yet, so I'll keep you guys updated on how that goes, but I'm very excited, and I think the kids are too, and I'm glad that I accidentally, well, I guess I didn't accidentally. I'm glad I taught them what authors and illustrators were this year, but we've been kind of building toward it, I think, unintentionally, and I'm really excited that we get this culminating activity at the end of the year.
That's awesome. That sounds really cool. And she's amazing, so I think you're going to really enjoy it. I was fortunate. I got to see one of her presentations for some of the older kids when she was in your district prior to spring break, and her energy level is amazing. Like, she's super engaging. She's moving around and be super expressive. I think you're going to really enjoy her presentation. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, she seems like she's going to be really engaging for pre-K, which not everybody can do. So,
yes,
I'm excited about that. I'm so excited about it, actually, that the next book that we're going to talk about is one of hers. It's her newest one. So this is one of the books that you were very kind, actually, and gave to me from our TLA visit. The next book we're going to talk about is Mary Had a Little Jam. It was published by Union Square Kids in 2025. The author is Tammy Sauer, and the illustrator is Vanessa Brantley Newton. This particular book has not won any awards yet, but Tammy has won quite a few awards for some other books that we'll list a little bit later. Tammy Sauer grew up on a small farm outside of the tiny town of Victoria, Kansas. After high school, she graduated from Kansas State University with a BS in elementary education, and she married her high school sweetheart. They had 2 children and later moved their family to Edmond, Oklahoma. Tammy was a teacher and later a library media specialist before becoming a children's author. She has written over 30 children's books to date, with more currently in the works. She still lives in Edmond with her family.
Some of the other books that she has written include Not Now, Cow, which is on 6 different state lists, Wordy Birdie, which is on 12 lists, Mary Had a Little Glam, which appears on 5 lists, Your Alien, and Nugget and Fang. The illustrator, Vanessa Brantley Newton, grew up in Newark, New Jersey, during the Civil Rights Movement. Reading Ezra Jack Keats' The Snowy Day was the first time that she saw an African-American character in a book. Seeing herself reflected in a children's book was a defining moment for her and has influenced her art as an adult. She strives to include characters of all ethnic backgrounds in an effort to recreate that moment for others. She has been given 29 awards and honors over the years for her work as an illustrator and author.
Some of her other books that she has written and illustrated are Shake It Off, Nesting Dolls, which is on one state list, Becoming Vanessa, which is on three state lists, Just Like Me, Grandma's Purse, Don't Let Auntie Mabel Bless the Table, and Let Freedom Sing. She has also illustrated 27 books for other authors so far. And with this particular book, Mary had a little jam. The summary is, one day when playing her ukulele, Mary decides it would be more fun to start a band and play with others. She recruits other characters from classic nursery rhymes such as Jack and Jill and Bo Peep. Together they form a band called the Nursery Rhymers. Initially, the sounds clash when everyone tries to play their own songs simultaneously, but eventually they come together and learn that with practice and unity, they can save their performance. I thought this was a really cute story. It teaches perseverance and teamwork. The illustrations are really vibrant. This is the third book in a series. The first one is Mary Had a Little Glam, and then there's Mary Had a Little Plan. There's lots of, it has lots of nursery rhyme characters in it, so naturally there's a lot of rhyming words in it. I think this would be a really good one to maybe read at the beginning of the school year. I usually do nursery rhymes-ish type things with 3, 4s, and 5s toward the beginning of the school year because it's something that's a little bit more familiar when we're kind of getting to learn our routines and procedures and such. This, I think that's a good way to kind of get our kids more used to school, I guess, because they're usually, they know some nursery rhymes and have some background knowledge with that. So it's a kind of a good way to kind of expand their knowledge and kind of appreciate reading a little bit because you have that little bit of familiarity with there. But yeah, I really enjoyed this story. I love that it focused on teamwork, and I love the illustrations and how bold they are. Yeah, I think, and with our particular curriculum, we have 6 weeks of just learning about music. So for our curriculum, I think I would probably give this one a 5 out of 5 because I'm always looking for music books to support our pre-K curriculum. Outside of the curriculum, I think I might go with reading it at home or just reading it for funsies, probably a 4 out of 5. It's still cute and it's still good. It's not particularly, I think it just doesn't stand out like a ton as just a standalone story, but it does support our curriculum particularly well. So if you have something that you need to tie it in with, like music-wise, nursery rhymes, I think I would give it a 5 out of 5. As a standalone, probably 4 out of 5.
I agree. I think it's a very cute story. It's fun to see the different nursery rhyme characters being represented in the book. I think Vanessa Brantley Newton does an amazing job of having a wide range of diverse characters represented in the book. Like, it's really cool to see all the different skin tones that are used to represent the different characters. So I think you're right. I think it's a really great book, especially considering the pre-K curriculum and the use of the nursery rhymes, the rhyming words, the music incorporation. And it's a solid story. It's not one that, like, is going to be something that everyone's going to be like, oh yeah, I've read all of the Mary Had books. But it's a solid book. It's really enjoyable. I think a lot of the kids will get a lot of enjoyment out of it. So yeah, I think definitely a good choice.
For the makerspace activity for this book, I thought it would be fun to make shakers and have the kids make their own instruments, which is pretty easy to do. I've done it a couple of times in the classroom. I have not done it in the library yet. That just occurred to me. I really should. But that's a pretty easy one to do. You just get the cheap paper plates that we all love for, you know, all the pre-K crafts, those little white ones that are paper and just really flexible. But you color on the bottom of it, and the kids decorate it however they want. And then you put some dry rice or beans or anything else that was... I do rice or beans because it's cheap, really. But you just get a very small little handful in there. Maybe like a teaspoon is even fine. And just put it on top, and then you fold the plate in half like a taco, and then staple along the edge. Then it's magic. You have your own little shaker, and then it's a great time. It's a little noisy. Maybe that's why I haven't done it in the library yet. I did it in the classroom, though. I don't know why I haven't done it in the library yet. But it's cheap, it's easy, and it's fast, and you can kind of encourage the kids to draw a little bit more on their plate and be real creative with that. You could, I guess with this one, you could even like try and get them to draw some nursery rhyme characters or some things that they see in the book as well. Yeah.
I love that idea. I think the kids would really enjoy that because then they have their own musical instrument. They can, and they all love to make noise. So having that shaker going, I'm sure the teachers will love it when they come back from the library with the shakers too. That's
will be their favorite. Yeah.
But no, that's a super cute idea, and like you said, cheap, and just the kids will really enjoy it. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's almost no prep too. Yeah. That's the best. I like low prep and a little bit more unique ideas. Those are the best. All right, well, thank you guys for joining us today on this episode of Librarians of Littles. We hope you found some fresh ideas for inspiring our young readers. Please be sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Librarians of Littles. We hope that you've enjoyed it. Check back each Wednesday for a new episode. Librarians of Littles is a podcast produced and hosted by Patrick Adams and Caroline Legier. Editor, Patrick Adams. Our theme song is performed by J.D. Adams. You can follow us on Instagram at Librarians of Littles. You can follow us on Blue Sky at littleslibrarian.bsky.social. And you can send us your emails at librarianoflittlespod@gmail.com.